You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
Home support workers have been providing and caring for those in need in New Zealand. However, they have been working in poverty for decades, struggling to make ends meet. 2 years ago, after a historic equal pay settlement, which ended long-term pay discrimination against these workers, many complain they are still facing a new struggle against shortened hours, irregular job security, and inadequate resources. The Public Service Association represents home support workers who are employed by various private companies and not-for-profits on behalf of DHBs, ACC and the Ministry of Health. Chris McArdle spoke to Carrie Davis from the Public Service Association about this, and he first asked what difficulties are home workers facing.
The home support services enable people to live in their own homes independently without having to be admitted to hospital or into, if you're older, into a rest home. So what home support services do is a professional home support worker will visit individual clients' homes and give them assistance, support, both for personal cares such as showering and any other help in terms of intimate care. In addition, assistance around the house in terms of with housework that they're unable to do, either because of a disability or an injury. So, yeah, so they're vital services that enable people to continue to participate in their local communities without having to be move out of their homes into a rest home situation. Some of the difficulties that people, home support workers, will struggle with is having sufficient time to be able to provide the level of support and assistance that clients receive. Increasingly, pressure is being put on support workers to do provide the same level of support, or indeed increasing levels of support, within reduced time periods. And also with multiple clients being banked up in terms of double bookings. So there really is a pressure on people to be able to do the work as well and as properly as they really need to be able to do it.
So how would you say things have progressed, or indeed not progressed, since the equal pay settlement that was concluded 2 years ago?
Well, the good thing is that people have got an increase in their hourly pay rate, which properly recognises their skills. But because, in our view, there hasn't been sufficient funding to properly implement the equal pay increases, along with guaranteed hours and travel time and payment for petrol reimbursement, this means that providers are increasingly cutting back on the time that's allocated to provide support. So people are having their hours cut, and so we have cases where people have actually had a reduction in their take-home pay because their hourly rate's gone up, but their number of hours has gone down.
A large percentage of home support workers are women. Do you think that any of the, I guess, lack of pay or kind of adverse conditions that home support workers have been facing is due to any gendered aspect, some kind of sexism on the part of employers or anything of the sort?
Well, the whole issue of the undervaluation of the work in the first place was very much about the discrimination against jobs that are predominantly done by women, where the skills associated with them have not been traditionally valued. And when we've done proper job assessments, we find that the level of the skill, responsibility and knowledge required to do the job should be getting paid at a higher rate of pay. And so we've managed to get that in terms of the hourly rate, get a recognition of the increased in the pay rates to better reflect the value of the work. But without commensurate increases in funding and a properly nationally funded and consistent funding model across the whole sector, then that enables providers to cut back support hours when to ensure that they have sufficient funds to be able to pay people.
So what do you think should be done to fix the situation, either on the part of public health authorities or of the contracting employers themselves?
I think it's beholden on the Ministry of Health and the DHBs to take, as the funders, to take some leadership in this area and implement the recommendations from the review that was done way back in 2015 into the home and community sector. There was a report that was given to the Director General of Health that, in 2015 that made some really important recommendations, and they included increasing the level of funding and changing the funding model to better put the sector on an equal footing with other areas within the health sector, so that that could enable people to genuinely get guaranteed hours of work, so that when there's an increase in pay, you don't get a commensurate decrease in your hours of work to compensate for it.
Do you have a message for the public for the reason, to tell people why they should be concerned about this issue and what they could do to support struggling workers?
Well, it's something that all of us should have a really strong opinion about. If we're lucky enough to get to an older age where we require home support services, then we really would value them, and we don't. That's likely to increase the need for these home support services. It's likely to increase as we have an ageing population. Also, if you've had an injury, you have an accident, and you're needing support to shower or to help around the house, then home support services are really vitally important for you to be able to do that. And what it does is it facilitates recovery a lot more quickly, particularly when you've had an injury. So it's something that is an integral part of our health system that needs to be properly funded and properly appreciated and valued.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Ki te whakarongo koe, ki te waia marunga Irirangi Pōho. That was Chris talking to Kerry Davis from the PSA about the working conditions of home support workers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.